Amen. Thank you, Scott. Oh, I want you to all know I missed y'all last week, and I'm not from North Carolina, but I like to say y'all because it's there. Just pick on my brother a little bit. We had a great time at the men's retreat. The men's retreat was awesome this year. It was very, very good. The Holy Spirit and God's Word just did a mighty work, and we pray that everything went beyond just the weekend. There had to be close to 60 decisions that were made by guys. We had a lot of praying to do, and a lot of tears were shed in the midst of the decisions. We had baptism Sunday morning before our service as well, and so it was just great. Tommy Snyder did a great job talking about Joseph, and I want you to know, Scott, with his devotions on Sunday morning, just hit a home run. It was perfect. It fit in well and with what he shared, and so the Lord obviously led him in what he was doing. I want to thank Joe for filling in. I hope you enjoyed some Israel history here, if you were here last week and saw all of that and was a part of that. I understand to do 70 years in 40 minutes is a little challenging, and so it could have been like drinking from a fire hydrant, anyways, I'm sure he had fun and that you enjoyed it. But thank you again, Joe, for all that you did. Concerning the community fun night, that's exactly what it's going to be. Hopefully good food. I've already purchased a bunch of my stuff for my chili that I'm making, so I'm confident there will be at least one good chili. No, I'm just kidding. I know. That's bad. That's bad. No folks are going to make some pulled pork, so it'll be great food. We have a couple of bounce houses coming for kids if it's not too windy, and as well as horseshoes and the beanbag toss game and nine square and stuff like that. So it'll be a fun time for the whole family, time to just mill around and talk to each other and get to know each other and get to know the community better, community folks better. And so if you could personally invite somebody, I'd greatly appreciate that. And there's some flyers out on the back, so you can do that if you have the time to be able to do that and be a part of it. Eric starts his sabbatical this week. It starts on Wednesday, and so Robert will be teaching at the Central Campus, and so it will be a great time. We're going to go through the book of James together. There will be an interruption in the middle of it, and where I will be at the Central Campus and Scott will be teaching here, and then we'll finish the book of James. So just to give you a little thought of where we're at, we love to teach God's Word verse by verse. If you didn't know that, we just enjoy that's what God has laid on our heart as a Calvary Chapel, so that we can understand the best of our ability through the power of His Spirit, God's Word. With that, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6. We've got a lot of territory to cover. We're going to cover to the end of the chapter, Ephesians 6. And so we do have much to cover. Thank you for being here. Welcome. Let's look to the Lord. If you don't have a Bible, we love for every home to have a Bible. There are Bibles on the back table. Feel free to pick one up, take it home if you don't have one. If you would like one for right now, I know it's kind of, but just raise your hand and one of the guys, Patrick or Scott, will make sure that you get one. So just kind of raise your hand and they'll make sure you have them. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the wonder of your love. Lord, we would ask that you would just guide and direct here during this time, that your Spirit would have free reign in our hearts and lives as we consider life and what it means to live victoriously, what it means to and what we have to do to be able to serve you wherever we're at, with whoever we're at, for your glory and your glory alone. So we ask your hand a blessing on this time, that you would guide and direct, and that you would be glorified in it all. Thank you again for all that you've given us in Christ our Lord. Amen. And I forgot to say, Happy Mother's Day, moms. Sorry about that, but Happy Mother's Day. You know, and the unique thing in this, all of us that are here today, we are uniquely connected this way. We all had a mom. You know, my mom is gone, and I'm sure many of yours has as well, but I do think about the uniqueness of my mom in my life and the wonders of that, as well as the uniqueness of my wife being a mom, you know, and now our kids being moms, our three daughters, and our daughter-in-law, and so it's just that. I know it's a hard time for those who desired to bear and couldn't, and it's a challenging time and a challenging week, but let's just remember our moms and celebrate them today in a profound way. I don't know if many of you recognize this name, but Bobby Leach, Robert Leach, do any of you even, they probably don't have the slightest idea who I'm talking about. That's okay. He's an English guy, and I didn't expect you would know him. I don't even know if Diane knows about him. I'm pretty sure she should, though. And she's probably sitting there going, my husband put me on the spot. But he, in his wonderful physics mind, decided that he was going to build himself a little container that he was going to put himself into and then have it dropped into the Niagara River off a boat so that he could go over Niagara Falls. Now, anybody want to say, what a fool? You feel free. But you, I want you to know, he made it perfectly well. Now, to me, that's tempting God a little bit in our life, no matter how much wisdom and education you can put into that container to be able to factor in the rocks and the roar of the, you know, and the turbulence underneath. Having been on the Maid of the Mist and underneath, and also walking underneath the Bride's Veil part of the falls, and having been there a few times in our life, you know, I can. Yeah, the power that is generated there is wow, you know. And it is more than a honeymoon spot. It is a place of just marveling at who God is and what we have in creation. You and I are going to look at the importance, the tremendous importance of putting on the full armor of God. If you and I are going to serve God the way God wants us to, and in a successful way, living victoriously, have an identity in Christ that lives victorious, not completely all the time, but living victoriously most of the time, it is and it will be because we put on the full armor of God. Now, if we know anything about Satan, there's a couple of things I just want to remind us of this morning. And they gave me a huge clock, so I can't go over today. But I just want to remind you of this thing. Spiritual warfare is real. Satan and his minions are real. There is no doubt that there is a spiritual battle that happens in America, around the world, in the state of Colorado, not just the state of New York or California, but the state of Colorado, in El Paso County, in Colorado Springs, Ellicott, Calhoun, you know, Peyton, Rush, all of these places, spiritual warfare is going on. Satan hates God. He does not want any of us here today to walk with God, to enjoy God, to live for him, worship him. And so when we talk about and think about the fiery darts of the evil one, if you and I leave off just one item of the full armor, we will lose. He will find that place, whether we just lose for the day, the moment, or for longer, we will lose. Walking in Christ, living in the Spirit, it is like Bobby Leach. We have to be prepared for every contingency that possibly could happen by just simply pursuing the one who saved us through his word, through the power of his Spirit, and walking that way. Not trying to think of everything that he could do. That's foolishness. But knowing what our God could do. Living victoriously. Looking at God's word, and we're going to start at verse 5. I know it says verse 10, but we weren't here to talk about work, but you and I can live victoriously even in work. Now, we know that they had slaves back in those days, and I believe Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to just talk about, listen, if you're going to live victoriously in that, you have to strive to please God. Notice the attitude of the bondservants. Verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Now we get right back to that. Husbands and wives are as to Christ. Children as to Christ. Now bondservants as to Christ. Parents as to Christ. You know, all of this just follows this beautiful line. If you and I are going to live victoriously, even in our jobs. And I know I've worked a lot of jobs, and I had some pretty unpleasant foremen and bosses in life. Even I had a couple that wanted me to break rules, you know, early on before salvation. Okay, well, no big deal. But after salvation, you know, that guilty conscience kicked in. Oh, work of the Spirit. No, I can't do that for you. You'll have to find somebody else. Well, you know, and running the risks there that are real, that are very real. But wanting to do that, wanting to please God, and doing it with a sincere heart in a profound way. Notice what he literally says the mandate for us as workers are. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, I worked at a place where we had 10-minute breaks morning and afternoon, or afternoon and evening, depending on which shift I worked. Also, in midnight, early morning, we had a 10-minute break. And, you know, and guys could stretch that, gals could stretch that into 20, 25 minutes just like that, you know. And so if you're the weird guy and you took the 10 minutes, it was something. I mean, I even worked at a place where they would play card games during a 10-minute break, you know? You just take advantage of that. And I couldn't do that to Christ and wanting to do the will of God. Bottom line, for you and I, everything we need to do, we need to strive for excellence, wanting to please God. Christian workers ought to be the best workers in life. That's the bottom line, whether we like the job or not. Diane knows there are times that I would literally be crying before I walk out the door because I hated the work so much. I hated it. And yet, by the time I got in the car and with her encouragement, I'm pleading with God, can you use me? Please use me. I want this to glorify you. Even in the midst of the ugh that I do in life and wanting to bring glory to him. Verse 7 goes on, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to the men again. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same for the Lord, from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. So for all of us, you know, God rewards us either here or there in some way. in a profound way. What a promise from God. My first pastorate was a tent working pastorate. It had gone through lots of ugly things, and I had to work, you know, in order to keep the church afloat financially. And one of my sister-in-laws decided to do some needlepoint. And so I thought about hanging in my office for a moment, but then I just thought it might look rude. But it said, you know, pastor's pay isn't much, but the benefits are out of this world. If you think about it, that's true for all of us. The pay here can really stink sometimes, but the benefits will always be out of this world, wanting to do that which God. And then he gives this mandate to the boss, and you, masters, foremen, if you're a self-employed contractor, you go directly to God. You bypass a boss, unless it's your wife. Notice what it says, giving up, threatening, knowing that your own master, God, also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. In other words, if you're a boss, you ought to be the best boss in the world. Grace and truth go together in a profound way. Quick story, my son-in-law, career military officer, ended up head of the bombing ranges and all the training with different aircraft after one of our skirmishes or wars. And we were celebrating something, and we had figured out how to bring all four of our children and their families together for a vacation. And all of a sudden, he couldn't come because he's on the East Coast in New Jersey, and we were going to do this in Pennsylvania. And he couldn't come because he was going through a Senate investigation at near one of his bombing ranges. A flare had come down, starting a forest fire, and fire that destroyed houses and almost destroyed a school, but destroyed part of it and everything. His thinking was it had to be pilot error, but people being people who are people, they kept insisting no, it had to be the flare. And he knew that in the guidelines it had to burn out well long before it got to the ground. All right. He gives me a call, and he goes, "Hey, I'm going to be here through the weekend. Can you tell me some place where to go to church?" Now, I've never been to New Jersey in my life, except to the airport. But all right, where are you at? And, yeah, I will. I began calling, and I said, "Hey, I think this church would be great. You know, go here." Now, my son-in-law is a pretty new believer at this point. And, being military, he sees everything black and white. Grace isn't in his vocabulary yet, you know. And he walks in, and he sees the media guys back there. It's a much larger church than here. And, you know, somebody looks vaguely familiar. He comes in, and he sits down, and he worships, and it was great, and he enjoyed that. And he gets up, and he notices the guy is looking at him, too. The guy really looks familiar. He comes up, comes around, and he sits next to Jeff. He says, "I need to talk to you." As soon as he got there, he realized who he was. He was the pilot. And the man broke down and confessed. He let the flare go way, way too soon. Thinking that he was in a hurry, wanted to finish, thought it was wet enough that nothing would happen. So now Jeff, who in the middle of this thing was saying, "Throw the book, every single jot and tittle of our rules and regulations, and, you know, out," he's in a dilemma. What do I do? He calls me. And I said, Jeff, I do not know the rules and regulations of the Air Force, but is there room for any kind of grace? He owned up to it. He knows his career is over. It's done. Because he lied in everything. They let him retire with benefits, without a loss of a rank, which to me was wow. Workers, bosses, doing something for God's glory, working for God's glory, committed to living victoriously. And it takes the full armor of God. Notice what we have. Living in warfare, living victoriously in the midst of the warfare. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I know for me as a man, often I forget that thought. I want to get through it myself. I want to work through it. You know, and it seems like whatever that is, that wall, that barrier, that thing, it becomes tougher for me because I am striving to do it in my own strength rather than for that which is for God's glory. He goes, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Those fiery little darts that will penetrate someplace. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That thought, stand, is standing firm with deep roots in Christ and all of his promises, all that he has given us in life. Paul then, because he understands the time that he lives in, he wants to give them something that they can look at and really apply to their own mind, an illustration. And so within the illustration, he chooses a Roman soldier who is well-fitted. Not only does he practice for warfare, but he is well-geared to be able to wage warfare well. You and I, if you and I are going to put on the whole armor of God and to live victoriously in this warfare, you and I have to practice. What do I mean? This book has to become truly a delight to us. It cannot be a once-a-week thing, once-a-month thing. It needs to be. It entails everything within the family of God that we've looked at in the book of Ephesians all the way up to this, to communing with one another, enjoying one another, learning how to forgive one another, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, realizing what value we have in God's eyes and putting this armor on. The very first thing that he looks at, and again, putting the whole armor of God on so that we won't be destroyed, so we won't be defeated in anything, is exactly what God wants us to do. Stand, therefore, he starts verse 14, having been girded your waist with truth. In the King James Version, it talks about the belt of truth. And that is what he's looking at, having your waist girded with truth and having this belt. Now, the Romans would have this belt mainly to tuck up their outer garments and things so that they could move freely and quickly. Yeah? Now, I'm getting older, and so I'm a little bit older and plotty now. I don't move as... Yeah, I used to be quick as a cat, but to be able to move freely so that when the dart comes or the arrow, boop, gone. I mean, you know, the movies do that, especially in all the adventure things, unless you're Wonder Woman. But, you know, they do that. They avoid it. you and I, truth. Now, what is truth? God's word is truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. His words, not mine. John 14:6. He is the truth. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1. Christ is the word of God. The word of God is here. You and I have it. And so you and I having this part of our body so that we can move quickly, spiritually discerning things that God wants us to know so that we can see the pitfalls that are ahead. Notice how verse 14 continues, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate of righteousness, breastplate in the armor, went from here and covered the thighs. And so it divided down here. And so it was completely covering the organs that we have. And wanting to have that breastplate truly solidified our heart and things like that, truly growing in the righteousness of Christ that we get from Christ. Romans 6:16 says this, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And so back to work, marriage, life, children, parenting, all of those things, allowing this instruments of righteousness, where it magnifies God in everything that we do and how we do it, and wanting him to be glorified in it. I love the two thoughts that he gave Timothy, that Paul gave Timothy, and we would read these in 2 Timothy 2:22 and 2 Timothy 3:16. He tells young Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What a blessing. Yeah, this is teamwork then. You and I together pursuing these things in Christ in a magnificent way. His righteousness, so it's seen, which he has put to our account, looking at Romans 6, 7, and 8, his righteousness has been imputed, literally, put to our account, given to us, so that it's not our righteousness, which is filthy rags, you know, and the wonder of it. Yeah, because now we are seen in the righteousness of Christ because our sins are forgiven. And he says, do this, pursue it with faith and love and peace with those who call on the Lord of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. How to put off the old man, how to put on the new man. How to live victoriously. And so that which guards our most vital organs is the righteousness of Christ. And all God's people said, yeah, we don't have to do it ourselves. We just need to pursue it through God's word. Notice verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want you to know the Roman soldier's sandal was unlike any other sandal. They literally put 3-inch spikes through the bottom of them so that they stood firm. Now, isn't that cool? You know, you can go wherever and buy some sandals, Walmart or whatever, and flip-flops. I've never seen people wear flip-flops as much as I have in Colorado. It's like your toes were meant to be parted. Mine don't work that way. But anyways, you know, and I've also seen slip sliding away because of flip-flops. You know, the gospel. What does the gospel mean to you? If it is the one thing that God used, so you saw the name of Christ and the reality of his death, burial, and resurrection, his payment for your sin, man, the gospel ought to be huge. And you know, for all of us, the gospel petrifies us because we don't want to say it. And yet it should be something, the joy of the gospel ought to be real in our lives. You know, circumstances of life can be difficult, but yet it is the gospel. It is the gospel that will be able to help us in everything that we do. It is the gospel of peace. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm at peace with God. No longer at war. Now, I want you to know, when I got saved, I thought the only person I was at war with was me and my dad. That was it. You know? Myself. Peace. You know, we live in a culture and a time where everybody is yearning for peace, to where their soul is just at rest. It comes through the gospel, folks. The turbulence and turmoil of life is real. The circumstances are there. And having that gospel of peace so that we can stand fast in the midst of all of the slippery slopes around us, so that our everyday, moment-by-moment walk reveals true peace in Christ. I can't say I do that every day, but wanting it, yearning for it. Just wanting to glorify God. Verse 16 goes on to say, and above all, take on the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, I believe this shield of faith isn't the small little one like this. I believe it is the big one that the foot soldiers often had, where they could overlap. And so when the fiery arrows came in, they would crunch together, they'd put them above their head, they had this formation, and so boom, 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 the fiery arrows couldn't get through, and everybody was protected. And so it becomes a shield, this thought of shield of faith, walking in faith, is a reality in our lives. And so that even on a bad day, when I'm walking by faith and Diane is struggling with her faith, I can protect her because of the unique relationship we have in marriage and in Christ. She is my wife, my lover, my sister in Christ, and the wonders of who he is. And so then with our children, we all know raising children want to spread their wings in all the wrong ways and earn this independence, sometimes in the wrong ways, and we are there to protect. It's the shield of faith from the fiery darts of the evil one. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. We get right back to this book. Isn't that uncanny how God plans this? No wonder we can call it his love letter to us, his instruction book in everything that pertains to life and godliness. A, he's given us that, and his indwelling spirit that makes it all come alive and make sense in our lives. The wonderful ability to be able to do those things. You know, Satan likes to fire those little fiery darts or incendiary bombs at us that would be, am I really saved? Or the question, does God really want me to do this? I can't possibly be worthy to do that. Can I really serve because of, let alone discouragement when failure happens, to where we walk away? Temptations, that are all around us. It again will be our faith that will stop those fiery darts. I told the guys, I couldn't believe it, on Facebook. Somebody had the audacity as a Christian, and I know the person, to actually put on Facebook this thought. Sexual sin is one of the least of all of the sins. And I looked at that and I go, what? What are you thinking? And unfortunately, some folks were saying, amen. To me, that is so opening up ourselves to such destruction and consequences that we would live with the rest of our lives. It is downright foolishness. That would be like saying, well, it's just a little white lie. It's a lie. And we categorize things, and we cannot, which opens the door to such temptation, to such thoughts, to where it would lead to defeat. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. You know, that helmet to protect their head and eyes and even over the bridge of their nose. If you notice, I do have a deviated septum because I did not protect my nose one time. And, you know, and it got broke. You know, that's life for me. If you also notice, I got a thing here and it's growing. Doctor goes, hey, yeah, it looks like you got hit hard in the head one time. And I go, more than once. All you have to do is, you know, I always thought my head was strong. And so, you know, if I got a brush cut or, you know, things like other people, you would see the scars of foolishness. I didn't have a helmet on. They made me wear a helmet to play baseball. That frustrated me. I hate hats, just an FYI. Somebody said they're going to buy me a cowboy hat. And I go, yay. But, you know, and just the fun of it. Now, I don't mean to make fun of anybody and their love for cowboy hats. You know, I saw something about cowgirls, you know, and we should have some out here. And, you know, even our security team, hey, gals, you know, feel free to join if you're so called and led. You know, but that helmet, what is the helmet of salvation? It is constantly having a heart and mind where every thought is taken captive for Christ. It is the reality of this. I am saved. I am a child of God. I am the Son of the Most High, or the daughter of the One Most High. Christ paid for every sin I ever committed and will commit, but I'm not going to take advantage of that grace, that mercy, that love that was given to me on the cross of Christ, so that I walk relishing and enjoying the fact that I am a saved child of God, and I am in His hand, and absolutely, positively, nothing can take me out of that hand. The wonders of the security that I have in Christ being sealed by the Spirit of God, and the reality of this, no matter what is going on around me, everything that hurts, stinks, going on, no matter the difficulty, the pain, no matter what, nothing can ever separate me from His great love. That's a helmet of salvation. The value, the cost, the joy, and wanting it to be in the forefront of our thinking all the time, being renewed in the spirit of our minds, as we learned back in Ephesians 4, learning how to think on, you know, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, whatever is lovely, of any good report, that has any virtue, if there is any praise, thinking on these things, and the things that you have seen in Paul, me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. If you and I are going to wade through the ugliness of life sometimes, it has to be with the helmet of salvation on. Otherwise, our mind goes elsewhere. And we make foolish decisions. We make decisions that don't glorify God. Bobby Leach is back in London. He is celebrating. People are recognizing him. You're the guy that went over. Yeah, you know, high fives, all of those kinds of things. And he is zipping down the street walking. And people are recognizing and pointing and everything. He's not paying attention to where he's going. Somebody threw an orange peel on the ground. Whip, bang, down he goes, broken leg. The helmet of salvation, God's word does become a lamp unto our feet. Because we knew that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You go out throughout the scriptures, from the Gospels as well as into the book of Revelation, and just figure out how many times Christ said, "He who has ears, let him hear." What the word of God says, what the Spirit of the Lord says to us. And we have the God of peace. The only offensive, defensive weapon we get in this is this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Wanting to be able to have that. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, that joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Wow. It helps us grow. It gives us the tools to be able to see God's design for us individually in life and what He is yearning for us to do. We are all wired differently, and God's people said, amen. We're all wired differently. We are. That's wonderful. Some of us have like wiring, but there's something unique about us. Believe it or not, God broke the mold when He created Heath. And God broke the mold when He created me. That's the bottom line. And all the rest of us. And the wonder of it. And then with salvation, we get different gifts. Some similar, some different. Yeah, and then we get to this thought of prayer and prayer life. Notice what it says. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so praying for ourselves, praying in the Spirit, wanting to have a life that is Spirit-directed, Spirit-walk, Spirit-living. So, and that only comes from having a prayer life. If you and I went into God's Word and saw how many times Christ went away to a certain place to pray, that's filled with it. You and I need to be people of prayer. That is the finishing touches that binds this all together so that the whole armor of God is on and stays on. We don't foolishly rip off our breastplate of faith anytime soon. You know, people have been shaken in their faith and walked away from God. And it's because they open themselves up to that which God would want. And you and I are preserved in the Spirit, and we ought to be praying for others within it. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Prayer. Then notice how it continues on, not only in our work, not only in the warfare, but also we can live victoriously in our witness. Notice what verses 19 and 20 says, "And for me, that the utterance, pray for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul knew he was to be the one to share the gospel, and the mystery is now that Gentiles can be saved. He is in jail when he is writing this, and he's saying, listen, I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador for Christ. All of us are ambassadors for Christ who are in Christ. Our life is to represent his thought, his thinking, his way of life. And so if we're going to do it in our witness, we need to be bold ambassadors. We need to pray for ourselves for boldness, as well as ask for others to pray for us that we can live courageously in this wicked world. It goes on to say this, but, verse 21, that you may know my affairs on how I'm doing, Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known. Notice how he is described, Tychicus. He is a beloved brother, someone who is in the beloved and that Paul enjoys, and he is faithful in ministry. Those should be two words that should describe your walk and my walk. 22, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, what we're doing, how we plan on going forward, and that he may comfort your hearts, knowing I haven't given up the faith in the midst of my trial. I am persevering for Christ. I'm going to continue forward, steadfast for Christ, and I'm going to continue to walk. And so is Tychicus and those with me, the entourage that isn't in jail. We're going to remain steadfast in the Lord. He's also talking about accountability. He's talking about candor. He is talking about that which reveals everything of where he is at and where they are at in sharing the gospel. Verses 23 and finish. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Without hypocrisy. Amen. You know, there are times you and I can forget who we are in Christ because of, and you fill in the blank. I want you to listen to some of these things. We've been talking about our identity throughout the whole book of Ephesians. Let me remind you of some. I am a child of God. I am to be the salt of the earth. I am to be the light of the world. I am a disciple because I have a love for Jesus Christ and a love for others. I am protected by the power of his name. I am set free by the truth of God. I am eternally secure in Christ. I can be kept from the evil one. I'm the one whom God the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am one with them as they are one with me. Christ's high priestly prayer, John 17. I am God's gift to Christ. I have peace with God. I am justified by faith. I have access into the sphere of God's grace. I can rejoice even in the midst of trouble. The love of God is constantly poured out into my heart and life through the power of his Spirit. I have been united with Christ through his death and resurrection and my faith. I am alive to God in Christ. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I'm free from condemnation. And the list goes on and on and on. I have 100 of them. Our identity. Spiritual warfare is real. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as Savior, Satan doesn't want you to trust him. Doesn't want you to put your faith in him alone and be set free from your sins and the bondage of sin. and to walk in His righteousness, His joy, His ways. If you're here and you are in Christ, He doesn't want you to passionately pursue, Satan doesn't want you to passionately pursue Him in life. He desires for you either to be defeated or me to be defeated rather than be an ambassador that truly reveals all that Christ is. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Keep it on. He's given us everything. It didn't take a physics professor to do it. I don't know where you are in Christ today. I have no idea. You know where you are. Live victoriously. It is fun. It is good. It is healthy. It is fulfilling. I'm not saying it's not without its trials and troubles. But, you will have a reward that's fit just for you in doing. Let's stand and close our time in prayer as the worship team comes. We will have prayer folks up here. If you desire prayer about anything in your life, please come. Enjoy your Mother's Day, moms. Enjoy it. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your goodness to us. Thank you for the wonder of your love. Thank you for all that you've given us in Christ. It is so humbling to know the value and the cost, the grace and the mercy of love of salvation. Father, I pray that you'd minister every heart here as only you can. Might they enjoy the God of peace and the peace of God beyond their understanding. For your glory and your glory alone, we pray this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.